Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, third hour, Tiki and Tierney, company from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you as well. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage on this Tuesday around the country here, CBS Sports Radio. Hopefully everybody enjoyed the Pete Rose spot. Terrific interview with the Hit King. Awesome stuff. Podcast, Apple, iTunes, radio.com. This should be pretty good as well. There are, I mean, you know, try not to be a prisoner of the moment, but I don't think we've ever seen the amount of quarterback options or possibilities that we're going to see this offseason. A lot of big names as well. This is a big name, the great Kurt Warner, champion NFL Network analyst that he's been with us many times. Kurt's back here. Kurt, Tiki's former teammate as well.
That's right.
Kurt, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man. How are you guys doing?
We are fantastic. You know, we've been talking about, you know, Joe Burrow and from last night, and ridiculous effort he put out this entire season, from the Heisman Trophy season and the national championship, both the semifinal and the championship game. He's spectacular. I mean, he threw for 463 yards in the biggest stage you could be on, and you do it without even seem like batting an eye. What kind of pro do you think he's going to make? Now, we were debating this because, not debating, but we were just commenting on this. He had so much talent. Like, his receiving core is some of the three best receivers in football right now. But he's going to get to the Cincinnati Bengals, likely, at least presumably, and it's not going to be that good. What kind of pro is Joe Burrow going to be in your eyes, Kurt?
Well, I mean, I've seen a lot of really good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of stuff that you believe can translate. I mean, I think, like anybody, though, the transition from last year to this year and how dramatic it was, it makes you kind of wonder, okay, like, what was going on? You know,
exactly.
did he just hit the perfect storm this year with talent and system and everything, and this is going to be who he is moving forward? Is this an anomaly because everything just kind of came together and he was extremely confident and it won't necessarily translate like that at the next level?
Yeah.
I don't really know, but, I mean, that's what I keep saying. Every time I watched him play, you're just like, my gosh. I mean, to go from where he was to every single game and win the Heisman and win the national – I mean – everything played out, you know, exactly how you would want it to play out if you were putting it all into one season. But I think it, unfortunately, leaves questions like, okay, why did we not see any of this before?
Yeah.
You know, where was all of this? And, you know, and again, a lot of times it can be system. It can be, you know, different things that come together and you can just catapult from there. But I think that's going to be the one question people have is, you know, where was this the entirety of your college career until this year? But there's a lot of good stuff on tape.
Yeah, man.
A lot of great throws that he's made. Athleticism. I mean, you saw some great athleticism last night. I mean, it looks like the whole package.
Yeah,
so
it does.
I'm excited to see what he can be at the next level.
Hey, Kurt, did you ever come across Joe Brady when he was with the Saints or bouncing around the NFL at any point? Because
I don't remember. I mean, you know, may have met him along the way, but don't ever remember a whole lot about him, no.
Yeah, and I don't either. And, you know, in combination with Ensminger, the offensive coordinator at LSU, that's the question that I presented to BT. It's like, I like the kid. I love him, but something feels off here, and I can't, like, put my finger on it because you don't make that kind of exponential jump. You don't resurrect or just change yourself that quickly unless you do. And I wonder if it had something to do with Joe Brady in that offensive scheme that they put in. But I guess what I really want to know, in translating to the National Football League, we see this with Lamar Jackson. Now, Joe Burrow is not going to be Lamar Jackson in the NFL, but he's willing to tuck it and run, right? It's one thing that I had a big problem with the Giants. They didn't let Daniel Jones use his athleticism sometimes to escape trouble. You know what I mean? And so the quarterback position is evolving a little bit. Are we going to see more guys like Joe Burrow, like Trevor Lawrence, to be honest with you, who had, you know, big rushing day against Ohio State in the semifinals? Is that the wave of the future for quarterbacks? Not like Lamar, but at least somewhere in between.
I don't think so, because again, Lamar is so different.
Yeah,
and he is so talented and so fast and so quick that he does a great job of protecting himself, you know, game in and game out. These other guys can be good runners, and there are some other good runners in our business, but they're not like Lamar. And I just believe that, you know, guys are too big and fast that, yeah, you can, you know, run a play here or you can do it in the red zone and, you know, add an extra guy because, you know, they can't account for him. You can do all of that stuff in select moments. I don't believe you're going to be able to run mini quarterbacks 20 times a game and think that they're going to survive by protecting themselves or being fast enough to run out of bounds and do all of that. That's not going to be the nature of what we see. You know, at least with the guys that I'm seeing in the league,
yeah.
I just think Lamar's a different beast. And, you know, even he takes some hits, but he does a great job of protecting himself and getting skinny and avoiding things at the point of contact. I don't know if these other guys are nearly the athletes that Lamar Jackson is to expect that to be a heavy dose of what they do. But surely, I mean, you love to be able to in third and one and in the red zone, you know, add that guy into the mix as you kind of see Seattle do, right?
Yeah.
They've gotten a lot, you know, away from Russell carrying it, you know, 8-10 times a game. But he will carry it 3 or 4 when you least expect it and in critical situations, and he's a difference maker there. I think that's what you're going to see from a lot of these other guys.
Okay, so we're talking to Kurt Warner. Kurt, terrific player, and really one of the good guys around the NFL as well. Hall of Famer, part of the NFL Network. He's an analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Kurt13Warner. And he's going to be back on the network, the NFL Game Day morning. This coverage this Sunday at 9 Eastern on the NFL Network. You know, Kurt, I understand that Ryan Tannehill is going to be very tough to diagnose this offseason because, you know, let's face it, yeah, I had some decent moments in Miami. He flashed a little bit, got hurt, didn't have a ton around him, backs up Mariota to start, goes in when they're 2-4. He starts to shine. We know his story. And back-to-back weeks under 90 yards passing. That's almost a lazy way to look at what he's done. When you look at the few throws that he's had to make, those are high-level, small-window, tough throws. How much is he worth, and do the Titans keep him?
Well, I mean, I think this is, you know, similar to the Joe Burrow analogy at the pro level. Is, you know, you sit there and look at the entirety of, you know, Ryan's career. And, yeah, of course, we know the talent. We know what was going on in Miami. But you look at it and you go, my gosh, you know, he wasn't anywhere close to this guy. And then he's been unbelievable this year. And so you have to try to measure and weigh, is this the guy he's going to be moving forward? And I think the bigger question is simply, are we going to be able to play this way moving forward, whether it's the Titans or he goes somewhere else and someone else has to try to – value him. You got to look what they did this year, and you got to look what Derrick Henry did and how they, you know, built so much off of play action. And no question he played really, really good football. But that's not going to be the nature of what you do in most situations year in and year out. You're going to need your quarterback to do more and to be able to win games with his right arm, you know, throwing 35, 40 times. And I think that's the ultimate question is what do you think Ryan Tannehill is? When we're looking at the long term and we're looking at the big picture. And once again, I'm not really sure if this was kind of lightning in a bottle and, man, everything came together and Derrick Henry was playing great and our defense was playing, you know, we win playoff games throwing 85 yards. I mean, how many times are they going to be able to do that? Derrick Henry is also a free agent. So what happens with those two guys in particular, that could dictate everything. If you don't have Derrick Henry, what do you think now about Ryan Tannehill? Do you think he can be that guy with someone else or, you know, carry more of the offense next year? Or do you think, you know, he goes hand in hand with who Derrick Henry is and how they play football?
Well, that's what we're asking you. You're the analyst. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I would say that I'm not convinced he's a $30+ million quarterback.
Neither am I.
That can be a franchise guy right now. I am not convinced. If you don't have Derrick Henry, I'm not convinced that you want to throw $30-some million at Ryan Tannehill. As much as I liked what he's done this year, I just haven't seen enough that I'm willing to do that because you guys know if you do that with a quarterback, you are strapped moving forward. So you better be sure that that is the guy that you can build around and that is the guy that can carry you while you try to fit pieces around him. And, again, I just haven't seen it enough to believe that's for sure what I'm getting for the next 5 or 6 years for $30-some million.
Yeah, no, look, we had this conversation yesterday about quarterbacks who can play from behind versus those that play with the league, with the lead. And I feel like Ryan Tannehill is good, but if you're behind by 10, like, is it in your DNA to just thrive in that moment? And, Kurt, you know this because this was you when you were with the Rams and the greatest show on turf. It didn't matter what you were trying to blitz or dog, or didn't matter. We're going to beat you, right? You thrived in that kind of environment, just like Russell Wilson thrives in that kind of environment. I think Aaron Rodgers thrives in that kind of environment. Pat Mahomes certainly does, down 24, as we saw this past weekend. If you don't have that, then you can't be the $30 million guy, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, we would say that, but then the other side of the equation becomes who else you're getting.
Yeah.
You know, that there's guys, and we've seen that in this league, is mm-hmm. that no longer do guys get slotted where we believe they've earned the right to be slotted. They get slotted if they're the next guy, you know, like if they're free.
I hate that.
The last contract was $33 million. He's getting 34 or 35 because that's what the market is. And so that becomes the problem, is you can't go to any of these guys and go, hey, we think you're a really good quarterback. We think you're a $22 million a year quarterback. And, you know, because somebody's going to go, shoot, we'll pay you 35. And he's gone. And so that becomes the hardest part of the equation, because I believe that guy that makes $35 million, if you're going to pay and strap your team like that, they have to be able to carry you no matter what else goes on. If we have to go out and we cannot run the football, can this guy keep you in games and win games for you in that environment if need be? Now, you always hope that's never going to be the case, that you know, you'll always have the running game and you'll always have the complementary pieces. But to me, if you are strapping yourself that way, very much like a Patrick Mahomes, right? They haven't had a running game most of the year. Their defense has been average. He keeps them in every single football game because of that. And, you know, he's a guy that you go, yep, transcendent, he's different, we will pay him $35 million. Other guys, I don't know if they're that guy, and so now you're going, well, we'll pay him $35 million, but we have to make sure that we have these pieces because that's the only way we're going to win. And again, you know, Tiki, I mean, there's only so many guys that are like that.
Yeah,
I mean, there are
right.
not 32 of those guys.
No, there really aren't.
And so you have to try to figure out, how do you piece this together to be successful if you have a $22 million guy or a $25 million guy, but not the $35 million guy? And can you pay the 25 guy $35 million and still build what you need to build around him? And I think that's one of the reasons why you see guys like a Drew Brees. As great as he's been, he's played in one Super Bowl. Because there's got to be other pieces. And again, not that he can't carry them. He's carried them so long. But it's hard to carry a team to a Super Bowl. I mean, you guys know. It's,
yep.
You can get your team to the playoffs. A quarterback can carry a team to the playoffs, I believe. A team needs to win a Super Bowl. Because you're playing against good teams and good quarterbacks every single week. And one guy, I mean, Peyton Manning is another great example. For the majority of his, you know, early career, we were like, ah, he's not a big game quarterback. All he does is get his team to the playoffs. And I can sit here and argue, okay, they got no defense. They can't stop anybody.
Sure.
He carries them to a playoff every year, and then they exit in the first round, and everybody's like, yeah, he's not a big-time guy.
Yep.
Well, yeah,
yep.
He was. He just didn't have the pieces because he was the guy, and they had to throw to win, and it's just very tough to do that come playoff time. So that's where I think you see some of these teams that have that guy behind center, but they have trouble putting the pieces around them to make them championship-type teams because they're strapped at that one position or, you know, that one position, and that, you know, it's just tough to,
yeah,
to piece all those other things together that you need to actually win a championship.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up with Kurt Warner here, NFL, Pro Football Hall of Fame, NFL Network analyst. Kurt, we're not going to hold you to this, okay? We're not going to hold you to this, but we'll play a little game here. Hopefully you're going to partake because I want to see where you go. I'm going to throw a couple of names at you, and again, we won't hold you to it. It's still early in 2020. To the best of your knowledge, your instincts, your gut, whatever, some intel, the name, I want you to tell us where the name is in 2020. What team? Tom Brady, where is he playing? Give me
Patriots.
A team. Patriots.
If he plays, I think he's with the Patriots without a doubt.
Phillip Rivers.
Man. that's a really tough one. I'm very interested in it. Probably Eli is another one that you might
mm-hmm.
throw out here.
Yeah.
I'm very interested with those two guys. If they're willing to go somewhere else and try to start fresh as opposed to retire. So I don't really know, you know, what the perfect situation, because I believe you got to have pieces there for both of those guys if they're going to go somewhere and be successful.
Totally.
And so I don't really know what team is out there that I feel is, oh, they're just a quarterback away from being successful. So I wouldn't be surprised if one of them, if not both of them, end up retiring because they don't re-sign with their team.
Okay, yeah. I got a few more for you. Yeah. I actually think Eli's going to retire. I think Rivers is going to play. We'll see.
Jameis. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I know he's still got a fire. I just don't know who's going. I mean, what do you pay him first?
Yeah,
you know, what's he worth?
Yeah.
And what situation is there out there that you go, okay, they're close.
Yeah, I hear you. Jameis.
Jameis, I believe, will be back in Tampa. They will franchise tag him or
tag him
in some capacity because, once again, he's teased us enough that he did so many good things this year, and we're still waiting to see if he's ever going to be able to get out of his own way. But he does enough good things that it's one of those that you fall back and go, who else are we getting?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who are we going to get that's going to make as many plays? Granted, he can't make that many mistakes. So I think they transition or franchise him and at least give another year to see if he can make some growth, especially with Bruce Arians.
Cam,
I do not believe will be back in Carolina. I think they will go a whole different direction. And once again, very fascinating to me because I think Cam is past the point of being the Cam Newton we've seen up to this point in his career.
Yeah, the MVP
and
Cam.
I don't think he can play the same way. And so now it becomes, what is his value being a different kind of quarterback? You know, can he be the more conventional type quarterback and carry a team? We know when he's Cam, he's special. He's different, and he's shown that. I just don't believe with all the injuries anybody can ask him to do that anymore and expect it from him. And so I think that's going to be a very interesting one to see how the league views him in terms of being a more conventional quarterback. And I'm very fascinated by that I wouldn't be surprised if he went somewhere to end up competing with someone as opposed to being handed the keys to a car in some situation.
All right, Kurt, we got the Chiefs and the Titans and the 49ers and the Green Bay Packers. Before those games on Sunday, you can catch you on NFL Game Day morning at 9 a.m. Eastern on the NFL Network. Kurt, my friend, appreciate you hopping on. Thanks for chatting with us.
Anytime, guys. Hopefully we'll catch you down in Miami.
We'll see you there, man. Thank you, Kurt. Appreciate you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
That was good. I was going to get to Teddy B. We're a little bit late, though. But that was a good assessment of the quarterback market by somebody who's obviously piped in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, coming up next, the Browns have a new head coach. What does their old head coach think about it? Hugh Jackson is going to stop by. Tiki and Tierney next, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4CBS, brought to you by GEICO. Whether or not you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. Good stuff. Great show today. Pete Rose was phenomenal. You got to check this out. Apple iTunes, radio.com, cbssportsradio.com. Let's go get the podcast. Good 25, 30-minute conversation about the mess that is baseball. His own personal situation. Kurt Warner was phenomenal. And this guy will be phenomenal as well. He likes to talk, and he's got a lot of good things to say. Hugh Jackson is back here on Tiki and Tierney. Coach, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good. It's always great to talk to you guys.
Appreciate you jumping on with us again. Thanks, especially Coach. Now that the Cleveland Browns have hired Stefanski to be their new head coach. What did you think about the hire? You know, I think we know a little bit about Kevin Stefanski as the offensive coordinator for the Vikings. He's been there for a while as a quarterback coach, running back coach, tight ends coach. But, I mean, he's also young, doesn't have a ton of experience as a head – not any experience as a head coach. What do you think of this?
Well, I think, you know, obviously he's been at Minnesota for 13 years. They've done some really good things there as a football team and offensively. Now he's going to get an opportunity to put his stamp on an organization, being the Cleveland Browns. There's a lot of work to do there. He does have some tools to work with there, but it's going to be, can he hire a good staff and can he mesh, you know, with the team that's there?
Yeah, you know, you talk about hiring a staff, and I always tell this to BT whenever a new coach comes in the league, especially the guy's not a vet. It doesn't know a ton of other, you know, coaches outside of an organization. How hard is it to find a good staff when you're a young head coach in the NFL?
It's really hard because some of the guys that you really want to talk to and and maybe even have on your staff. They might be under contract,
yeah,
you know, on another staff, and so you can't really mess with those guys. And so it can be very challenging. And normally in your first year, you know, you might take some mulligans, you know, by hiring some people maybe you really wasn't sure of, and hopefully the ownership can understand that. But you don't always get everybody you want.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the first things he said was that the sky is the limit for Baker Mayfield. And I think we all kind of believe that. And you were there when Baker was a rookie. You saw him early in camp. Then he came in and took over and did some good things. And obviously last year was a step back. You saw it from afar like we all did. Where is Baker? And what can Kevin Stefanski do to not fix, but like get him back on the track that he was when he was a rookie?
Well, we're going to see. I truly believe, I think Baker will improve and get back to playing the way he did, but his first is going to be with him. I think first he has to go do the work and do the things he needs to do to put himself back in position. But I think the head coach is going to have to create an environment for him to be the best player that he can be. I think that's going to be the key.
All right, Hugh, I want to dig a little bit deeper into your journey, and there's a greater issue here about the Rooney Rule. Coach the Raiders, you coach the Browns, obviously, we know that. I'm trying to remember, what was the first interview that you had for a potential head coaching vacancy?
Oh, boy. There was quite a few before the ones I got.
Yeah.
So, you go through that process, and I know we're talking about the Rooney Rule, and, I have a different opinion of all these things that are going on. I think it's very disappointing when you think about it from an offensive standpoint. There's only been four or five coaches, minority coaches, who have ever ascended to the head coaching seat in the 100-year history of the National Football League.
Wow.
It's only five. And I'm not talking about people that have become intern. I'm talking about guys who are hired to become head coaches. And I can name them Art Shell, Denny Green, Jim Caldwell, Anthony Lynn, and myself. And to me, that right there says it all to me.
Okay.
You know, that's an issue.
There's no doubt. I'm certainly not disagreeing. The reason I ask you this, and I was trying to recollect what your first interview was, because it seems like, you know, a lot of these interviews, and I'm really referencing Eric Bieniemy. That's where I'm specifically pointing now, how he doesn't have a job is beyond me, quite frankly. But, you know, did you ever get a sense, I don't know how else to frame it, other than the early interviews when Hugh Jackson was trying to get a job early, did you ever get a sense they were just kind of token interviews, or you really had a chance to get that job?
You want to believe you really have a chance, but the numbers, you know, the data I just gave you says you really didn't. You know, and so, you want to truly believe that it's a level playing field and that everything's aligned the right way. I figured there was still some more things I needed to do when it didn't happen for me the first time. But you just, you know, you keep on swinging at it, you know, and I think you have to interview, because if you don't interview, you have no chance of getting the job.
But yeah, it's literally 0%. Yeah.
Yeah, but you at least got to make sure, you know, from your side that you at least got the right people talking to the right people so you can find out if it's going to be a good opportunity or not.
Yeah, it's it's so convoluted. It's such an extraneous route. It's ridiculous.
Look, Hugh, we know that you and fellow minority coaches have these conversations. And I know you do, because it's just what coaches do. You talk to each other. Is there a thought or a process that you guys have kind of trying to work out to make this better? Because from the outside looking in, we can opine about it and say, yeah, it's wrong, and the Fitzpatrick Alliance issued this scathing rebuke. There's no black general managers. There's one black president of football operations. And with 70% of the players being black, it doesn't make any sense. Like, what are you guys talking about?
We do have conversations, and you know, it's really conversations of disappointment, because we know the league tries to do a lot of different things to help the issue. There's a diversity committee. There's a lot of meetings that get had to talk about these things, but there's never much action. You know, there's nothing that really you can hang your hat on to say that things are changing. I know when John Wooden was involved with the Fitzpatrick Alliance, there was a lot of great things that were happening, and then that's kind of slowed down, you know, and things have kind of fallen off. I just think somehow, some way, these young coaches, and I think it's going to be the players someday that's going to have to stand up and say, hey, look, because you just said it, that's the majority. It's 70% minority players. They got to say that there are some minority men who can lead us.
Yeah. Do you think that this is going to force, like I think of like an Eric Bieniemy, just to go back to him, because he's the most, you know, populated name in our mind right now. Is this going to force coaches like Eric Bieniemy to go back into college, like to leave the NFL, go back into college, simply so they have a shot at being a head coach and then proving themselves there and then getting a shot in the NFL. Do you think that's going to happen?
Yeah, well, let me say this. It's just as tough there as it is in the National Football
League. Yeah, it's true. It's a good point. That's a good point.
I don't think you get to go back there and do it. I mean, I think these guys are looking for opportunities, whether it's in the National Football League at the highest level or in college, because they're ready. And all they want is the same opportunity that everybody else has been afforded. And I've been fortunate and blessed. I've had two opportunities, regardless of what the situations have been. If they've been tough situations or not, I've had them. And mm-hmm. So I've earned them. Nobody gave them to me. I earned them. So at the end of the day, I hope these men, as they move forward, get those chances.
Yeah, Hugh, let's call it for what it is. Those were tough chances you got, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to take them. But the Raiders, you know, no quarterback, really. You try to get Carson Palmer going off the couch, and the Browns are the Browns, let's face it. I mean, that left says it all.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to answer.
No, don't answer. Hugh Jackson's with us here on the show.
I think the biggest thing, though, you know, the one thing I tried to do when I went to Cleveland, I hired Ray Horton as a defense coordinator, Pep Hamilton as the offensive coordinator, and Kirby Wilson as the run game coordinator, because I knew I had a responsibility to give back. The problem was we didn't win. Yeah. You know, we were in a situation where we didn't win a lot of games. So it puts us all in a different and sometimes even a tougher situation. So I think it's imperative. One thing I would say to the league is that when you do hire a minority coach, you do anything and everything you can to help them be successful.
Yeah.
Because it's important. Because if you don't, either in the set diversity back maybe 5 or 6 years because of it.
Yeah, no, you're right. If Bill Clinton was our first black president, then Bruce Arians is our first is our token black head coach, because he hires all African Americans on his staff. I mean, all three of his coordinators
and women,
but it's really about the African Americans as coordinators, right? And so those guys, what Bruce Arians is doing, it's novel and it shouldn't be, but it's, I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
right. You just said it, because I think everybody that says they want to do something about it, you got to put your money where your mouth is.
That's exactly right.
Do something about it.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, Hugh. Who are we watching in Miami before we let you go? Who's winning this weekend?
Oh boy, I think it's going to be Kansas City and the San Francisco 49ers.
It's tough to refute that.
Yeah,
now.
You're right.
It's tough to refute that. This was a special weekend. Hopefully we get some very competitive games coming up again this weekend. Conference Championship Sunday. Hugh, always good for a few minutes. Thanks a lot. Are you going to be out in Miami? We're going to see you or no?
Yeah, absolutely. You sure will.
All right, man. Thanks, Coach.
Be good, Coach.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
There you go. Hugh Jackson. Let's get the update from Maxie. What's cooking? Rich Ackerman's update is right now. The Player of the Week here on Tiki and Tierney, brought to you by Granger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week. It's Damian Lillard, D-Lil. All right, Lillard led the way last night. Blazers won by 3, 115-112 over the Hornets. He dropped in 30. He shot efficiently 10 out of 16, knocking down 5 from downtown. And Dame Dalla has scored at least 30 in 3 of his last 6. So he's back being Dame. They were scuffling early. Blazers become certainly a lot better lately. Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Delivering the products that keep your facility running is what Granger does best. They've been doing it for 90 years. Visit Granger.com for whatever you need, whenever you need it. Granger, for the ones who get it done. All right, this is amazing. Adam Schefter just tweeted this about 2 minutes ago. This is incredible. This changes a lot, and then we have a conversation here.
You're right.
LSU's passing game coordinator, Joe Brady, has told people today he is planning to return to the NFL and the Carolina Panthers.
I mean,
Matt Rhule ain't messing around. More specifically, David Tepper's not messing around, which opens up the dialogue. They've got the 7th draft choice.
Yeah.
Now,
would you go all out if you're Carolina?
Uh-huh.
And we just listened to Kurt Warner tell us that he doesn't think Cam's going to be back in Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And I would kind of agree with him. David Tepper seems like he's going to reset everything, keep his best talent there, and then kind of restart with a new system.
Wow.
Bring in some younger players. You got a college head coach, which can relate a little bit better there. You're bringing in a pass game coordinator who's getting all the credit, even though he doesn't necessarily deserve all the credit. Steve Ensminger, who's been there for a long time, but he was a tight end coach, so he was different. That's why their system was all antiquated.
Mm-hmm.
Run the ball down your throat and maybe some play action pass here and there. Let's play good defense. Joe Brady comes in as their pass game coordinator. We saw what happens. You get a Heisman Trophy winner, win a national championship, then you bounce right back to the National Football League. That's the power of money, David Tepper, because Joe Brady a week ago said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm planning on staying here. at LSU.
But it's also the power of Matt Rhule.
And it's, well,
he believes in Matt Rhule.
Oh, I mean, of course, that's what that says too. And I'm
getting paid.
But he's also getting paid. And he's going to probably come in as the offensive coordinator, I would assume.
I guess so. He's not going to be the passing game coordinator. He's going to be OC. Yeah, I can't imagine he's not.
I don't know. I haven't heard what his actual title is going to be as Matt Rhule builds out a staff. I feel like he met with a coordinator earlier. I can't remember who they were talking about, but this is a game changer in so many ways because now we start to speculate.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming into the NFL. You're leaving college, leaving LSU. You have your Heisman Trophy winning quarterback who you have a ton of faith in, credit, and you're getting credited for a lot of his success. Are you going to try to move up and take him?
Move
up to one and take him.
Well, listen, I'm going to make the call.
And if you're the Cincinnati Bengals.
If I'm the Bengals, there's no way I'm doing anything. There's no way.
Why not?
I'm taking Joe Burrow from Cincinnati.
But are the Cincinnati Bengals.
I want Tua to play five games.
But let me ask you this.
If I'm the Bengals.
Are the Cincinnati Bengals a quarterback away from being good in 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, actually. If Joe Burrow's as good as I think he's going to be. But at that point, A.J. Green, they should have traded him a year or two ago. I've been saying that forever. But forget about A.J. Green.
And I think it's about a contract now.
Forget about Eifert. You know, but Mixon will be there.
Mm-hmm.
Boyd's pretty good.
Yep.
I mean, Cincinnati Bengals, I don't think they're going to be wretched. They're not going to be bereft of talent.
Yep. John Ross figures it out. Stay healthy. He can't stay healthy.
He's got that 6-speed, but he's always been. Was he a 4-2?
Yeah.
I think he's definitely better than Will Fuller, which is saying something.
Whatever year he came out, he led the league, and I remember he led the combine in the 40 time.
Yeah. Was it 4-1-3?
It was something stupid.
Yeah, it was stupid.
Yeah, and that's why he got drafted high as he did. He just couldn't stay on the field.
If I'm Cincy, I'm not doing it.
So they got talent.
I don't care what they're giving me.
Are they a quarterback away, though?
Here's the thing, though. What if they love Herbert? What if they love his skill set, and they say, hey, you know what? We don't have to go anywhere. We might even be able to maybe trade down a slot or two.
You're talking about Cincinnati?
No. I'm talking about
Carolina.
There's no way if I'm the Panthers. First of all, what would it take to move up from 7 to 1?
Yeah, that's the
one?
Problem.
Think about when the
that's
Bears
the
moved from 3 to 2
to
get Trubisky.
Yeah, it would take a lot.
Yeah, you're going to have to. No. I would not. If I'm the Panthers, that's reckless. I don't think you need to do that. You get, you know, whether it's Tua. And the reason I wouldn't want Tua for the Bengals is that the messaging is important. Like, I want to see Joe Burrow opening day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that it changes the entire complexion of the season, but the Panthers have more equity because they got McCaffrey, they got DJ Moore, they had Cam, they got to a Super Bowl. The Bengals have been bungling for the last couple of years. They need to make a little noise. That place is pretty empty.
Yeah.
And if you trade away the Ohio kid, there's no way I would do that.
Yeah.
No way would I do that.
Even if it's in the best interest of the team going forward.
But I don't think it would be because I think Joe Burrow is going to be the best by far out of this draft.
Yeah.
I can't give up the best quarterback that I've seen in a little bit. Yeah. I can't do it.
I would probably agree with that. I'd probably say Cincinnati needs to stay put. They need to not, take the cheese. You know what I mean? And say, hey, you can get 5 or 6 more different assets down, you know, either first round and later in the draft and build your team out that way. You got to get the stars, right? And if the guy is a sure bet, even though there are no sure bets, as we all know, you almost are stuck taking him if you're the Cincinnati Bengals. The question, though, that this also presents for the Carolina Panthers is who's that guy? Right, because they need a quarterback. It's not Allen. It's not Kyle Allen.
No,
he looked sharp for a couple games, and then
4 games
kinda,
he looked okay,
and kind of faded away.
Yeah.
And then they end up starting Will Greer.
Yeah.
Exactly. Not moving you if you're a Carolina fan or really the organization. And so there's
I got somebody for you.
There's got to be a
I got
guy,
somebody for
whether
you.
In the draft or in free agency.
I got somebody for you.
Who's that?
Teddy Bridgewater. Maybe that's the guy I go after.
Maybe.
Because, again, this pipe dream of Rivers, I think, still plays. I think Eli retires. But Brady actually could leave, but he probably winds up staying there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all these names, there's a lot of names, and it's fun, and it's conjecture, and it's a good segment. It's interesting. Quarterback talk will always go. The name that still has upside is a winner.
Yep.
I mean, it was 5-0 without Drew Brees. You know, I mean, that very well won the division because of Teddy Bridgewater.
But are you sold on Teddy Bridgewater being?
I'm sold on him maybe with Joe Brady.
I agree.
You know?
But think about this conversation that we had with Kurt Warner, and we had it Monday as well, talking about Pat Mahomes, how he's just It doesn't matter. You're up by 10 or you're down by 30. Mm-hmm. Pat Mahomes is going to beast it, right? Mm-hmm. He's got that it. And it seems like whatever offense Joe Brady is going to bring to the Carolina Panthers, it's likely to be similar to what we saw at LSU. I mean, it worked. It was wide open. It was fast-paced. It was hit and bang, and let's go, and we're going to score it and play at a pace that you can't keep up with and keep you confused. So you think that that's going to happen in the National Football League, but it takes a really accurate passer. Right, that's the one thing you can't take away from Joe Burrow, the Heisman Trophy winner, is that he was ridiculously accurate. Yep. I think he was close to 80% mm-hmm. on the season.
I think
third best all time. And Samter was telling me this stat in against zone, he was completing like 90-something% of his passes against zone. Which I mean, you should against 3-man rushes.
But
and
not everybody's doing that
exactly.
You know, I
so,
hear you.
So it takes an accurate passer to play in this type of system. Is Teddy Bridgewater that? And I don't know.
Accuracy? Yeah, I think he's pretty accuracy. Is he the guy that's going to bring you back from a 17th, you know, or 24 zip deficit to the greater point?
That's what I mean.
No, he's not that guy. He wasn't that guy before he got hurt for the Vikings.
And if you're
he'll
not,
never be that
but
guy.
If you're not that guy and you're trying to rebuild, aren't you the wrong guy? Because ultimately, you're going to get into a game. Like, let's look at the Ravens. You get like the Ravens. They get down early because Lamar makes a couple mistakes early in the game. As much as I love Lamar, I didn't feel like he could bring him back. Mm-hmm. I just didn't.
No, I didn't really
it wasn't his game. And he was great. He's going to win the MVP.
No.
But he couldn't win that kind of game. Pat Mahomes, he's winning that kind of game any day of the week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers probably can win that kind of game any day of the week. Russell Wilson even could do this. I'm not so sure Lamar can. I'm not sure so sure that Teddy Bridgewater can. If you're going to commit tons of resources to a quarterback, he better be that guy.
Yeah, fair. I agree. The only problem is, okay, so let's kick it to the draft now.
Mm-hmm.
Say if you also have the Chargers in the six hole.
Mm-hmm.
So the Chargers very well might draft the quarterback.
The Chargers have to.
Well, they have to unless they sign Brady or whatever. Yeah.
But even if they do, PT.
I don't think they'd kick it down the road for a year. I don't think they would sign Brady and draft the quarterback because they would want another resource for Brady.
Yeah, but that doesn't make sense.
Because they're going for it now.
Because if you sign Tom Brady, you're thinking you're going to be outside of the top 10 in drafting, and therefore you're not going to get one of the good quarterbacks in 2021.
Kansas City got one. You always move up. There's always ways to skin the cat, you know. I think, you know, I don't want to take a chance on Tua's hip. I need a little more time as we diagnose. I want to see where he is at the combine, if he's throwing, if he's moving a little bit.
Yeah, we said that last week.
You know, Herbert, I like him a little. I don't love him. I've been pretty open about that. So as much as you're right about Teddy Bridgewater, at least what I know about Teddy is that he's beyond viable.
Yeah, and he's a winner.
I mean, Herbert could be Blaine Gabbert. He really could be. I mean, he could be.
I know
that Bridgewater's not Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah.
That I know.
Yeah.
So even if you say, well.
Because there's so many free agents quarterback, which is rare, by the way. There's so many free agent quarterbacks. At least you know what you have. Whereas if you the rookie kid that's coming in from college,
mm-hmm.
You have no idea. He could have been great in college. You have no idea what he's going to do in the NFL. The guys that are free agents in the NFL, you kind of have a book on them a little bit.
No doubt. Plus, I think what I would do, I think the more prudent play for the Panthers, maybe draft a kid like Okuda, because their defense has gotten a little soft over the years. Linebackers get a little – love Kuechly. He's not the same. Get a shutdown corner. And it's Okuda, and go to work and develop the offense with Brady, with Rule, you know, the trenches, Rule, and just start to build it from there. And maybe, again, I'm back to Bridgewater, maybe pay him $23, $24, $25 million for a couple years. And on that third year, be able to get out and then find your real guy.
He really doesn't seem like he wants to leave New Orleans, though.
Well, then I guess he doesn't want to play.
No, I think he does. I think he just thinks that. You know, at some point.
They should sign Taysom Hill. That's what they should do.
Right.
They should lure Taysom. Is he a free agent?
He's in his fourth year. Maybe. He might be, actually.
I think he might be.
He might
Taysom
be.
Taysom Hill. The like Tebow, who's actually good.
That's right.
You know what I mean? All right. Good show today, T. Good stuff. Kurt Warner, Hugh Jackson, Pete Rose was phenomenal. Radio.com, CBSSportsRadio.com. Busy Tuesday. Busier Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night, everybody. Peace. Gotta go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.